Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. When my oldest brother-in-law and sister-in-law celebrated their 50th anniversary, Don made a little comment about how their marriage had worked. He said that he and Phyllis decided that he would take care of all of the big decisions and she would take care of all the little decisions. And that's how they were able to work out a very healthy marriage. Don did say they've never had a major decision to make. You know, a lot of our life is not about the big things. A lot of it's about the little things. It's not about the grand scheme of what's going on in the world. It's about our aches and pains. It's about the glance that someone sends toward us that might say, "I care about you. I'm with you. I've got your back." It may be the sharp word that someone sends our way. It may be the twinge of doubt when we thought things were going well with someone and they're not. They can be positive and they can be negative. Our life is filled with the little kinds of things like, what does it take to get here on a Sunday morning? All of those little pieces that have to come together for us to be able to make it here. All the little challenges of lights, red or green, tank of gas, full or empty, whether we got our cup of coffee before we got here or not. All those kinds of things. The comments that we may make, if you've got children, maybe the difficulty of getting them dressed. I can remember the day that our family took a picture over at St. Stephanus for the church directory many, many years ago. A very, very hot August afternoon. And the picture shows us smiling. But we were still in coats and ties and things like that in those days. And there wasn't much smiling beforehand and there wasn't much smiling afterwards. We've all had those days. They can frustrate us. Can frustrate us just about what goes on in our own heart. The questions that come up in our mind, the temptations that come up, those little things that face us day after day, the decision of how are we going to react to what someone said to us? Are we going to cooperate with someone? When have we finally had it with them? Nothing new. Nothing new. Now, for us in our setting, most of us drive to get here. Not everybody, but most of us drive to get here. In the early church, most people lived very close to where they worshiped. There weren't church buildings like Emmaus, nothing like that at all. This would have been considered a huge cathedral by people who probably wouldn't even think of this being a religious building. Most of them would have gathered in the home of someone who was more well-to-do, where maybe 15 or 20 or 25 of them could get together and squeeze in and have a meal and worship. They knew each other very well, or were getting to know each other. People who were united because they were Christian and maybe at odds with the world around them because they were Christian. was not a popular thing to believe that Jesus was Lord in a world where everyone knew that Caesar was Lord. And thus, as they gathered together, they had their own questions, their own doubts, their own fears. They hadn't had years of confirmation and Bible class behind them. They didn't yet know exactly what forms their worship would take. It was probably based mostly on how the Jewish people had worshiped, and those who had Jewish background could put that together. There would have been praying, probably would have been singing. There would have been hearing from the Hebrew scriptures in the Greek translation about what God had promised in the Old Testament. And as they gathered together, as we've talked about before, the people at Thessalonica were not sure about the whole business about the future. And so somehow Paul gets word of this, as he is probably in Corinth, and he tries to deal with some of the questions that they have. The big questions. What's the future all about? What does it mean that Jesus is Lord and Savior? But then he kind of wraps it up here. And at the very end, he says, in essence, celebrate that you are saved and redeemed. Celebrate that the Lord Jesus has wrapped his arms around you and promises that he is going to be with you and take you to be with him forever. Celebrate that he will keep his word, and then, simply put, get along with each other. Get along with each other. Don't let the little things become big things. Make all the problems little ones. Put, as Luther says in the explanation to the Eighth Commandment, put the best construction on everything. We know that sometimes people are not going to want to get along with us, and that's very painful. We may want to make things different, and others may resist. But a lot of times, it's the little things that we either lay aside or let pile up. I think one of the most helpful reasons that I can think of for worshiping is every single week we bring our hearts before our Lord. And we say to him, Lord, we reflect on what's gone on this past week. We reflect on the fact there have been some wonderful days and some wonderful moments and some wonderful experiences. And there have been some testy moments, some difficult moments, some hard moments, some things that have either left us with fear or anger or frustration. And we bring those to you, Lord. It's sort of like cleaning, as Paul says here, and it's very, very rare to hear about body, soul, and spirit. Either it's usually body and spirit or soul and body, but this is one of the rare ones where he just uses all the words. It's like doing spiritual house cleaning every day and every week. Take the trash out. Take the frustrations, the disappointments, the despair, the comments from others who are just as fallen human and sinful human as we are, and don't blow them up to be something so big that you can't get beyond them. Now, we could have this wonderful little pep talk. Okay, everybody, let's just really try harder. But our Lord knows it's really not that way, and we recognize there are some situations that are not going to change. At most, what will change is how we deal with them. But we come here, and we say to our Lord, heal our hearts. We don't come and say, I'm going to come and show you that I've got it all together. We come and we say, Lord, we don't. We can try and talk ourselves into having a bright and happy day. Have a good day. Have a nice day. It's a nice way to say something to someone, but we realize that it's a lot harder in action with all those hundreds of different things that happen. I'm often reminded of people who talk, I think teachers make 1,500 decisions a day. And in that, we expect that they're going to make every single one correctly all the time. Well, the students have to make those decisions too, maybe not quite that many. and all of us too. How do we get along? How do we love each other? And so our Lord gathers us together in community, first of all, to confess our sins, to lay before him all the things that are going on, not to be bawled out, "You're not a good enough Christian," but to be reminded, we are made righteous by the Lord. And we lay before him everything that goes against that. We say, "Lord, take the power of it away. Take away my drive to have to control that situation. Help me to be at peace in my heart with you and myself, and help that to spill over into the lives of others." And so he can say, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances." Some nice little imperatives. Not imperatives of, "You do it because you're supposed to," but do it because the Lord has enabled you to do it. My mother used to respond very often when I said something, and she would always say, "Tom, you always say, 'Yes, but.'" Yes, but. "Yes, I know I'm saved and redeemed, but do you know what they did to me?" Now, often it was on other issues, but "yes, but" is our old sinful nature talking. It's, "Yes, but I have a right. I feel this way. I feel that way." Before our Lord, we defend ourselves in no way. We come, as Martin Luther said at the very last words of his life, or reportedly, we come as beggars. We don't come because it's all together. We come because he loves us anyway. And as we get gathered together with other Christians, we not only lay our lives before him, but we lay our lives before each other. We talk with each other. We tell each other what's going on in life. We celebrate the good moments, and we talk over the moments that are not so good. We're there to help heal each other, to help put life in perspective, to keep ourselves from being just crushed all by ourselves. And so he puts us together in human community. It is my anguish when there are many who are in our community by name, but not by worship and study and all of the other things that go into the fellowship that we have, because the Lord has given us to each other as a gift. But no matter what anyone else does in response, it doesn't mean we cannot start the responses. To call people up whom we haven't seen, just to find out how are they doing. Just to ask them how life is going. Or as we catch them in the hall or see them someplace, just to engage in a bit of conversation. To say hello to somebody whom we don't know as well and get to know them a little better and share our lives with them. Because this ongoing relationship that we have with Christ is put within the fellowship of others. And so as Paul talks, he says, "Listen to each other." He's at the time in the early church where they didn't have a whole bunch of Bible to throw at each other. But he says, the Spirit of God works in all of us. So listen to the kinds of things that fellow Christians will say. The encouragement that they will give. Maybe the way forward, the planning for the future. To respect that God works through us, we have to test those spirits to see are they from God, but not to be railroading or running each other down, but to say, here's the safe place, the place where we can love each other and care for each other and go forward praising and honoring the Lord and building each other up so that as we rejoice and as we give thanks and as we pray, that we are able to bring each other before the Lord and ask him to settle hearts and lives, to help people recognize the wonderful gifts that God has given to each of them that we each have for the benefit of each other in this safe community where we are able to come into his presence with singing and where we can go forward now and into eternity, honoring and praising him and getting up every day saying, "Lord, help me start over. To make this another day where they'll just be a bunch of little things and help me through them. Amen." May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.